How many more relatives are going to be offered up as potential spouses?
How does it take 3 years to win a medieval war when you have dragons?
Has Daemon ever heard the phrase, "Don't kill the messenger"?
We'll answer those questions and more on this episode of The Joffrey Podcast.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require King's attention.
I'm King now. King now.
I am King.
Kiss it. Kiss it again,
Ryan. Your fingers or your
king
tongue.
Fingers.
Discuss
your battle plans.
Each one, but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
My name's Bubba, and with me as always is
Catfish.
Catfish, we're going to be breaking down House of the Dragon Season 1, Episode 3, Second of His Name. What is your rating out of 10 for this third episode of Season 1?
Well, Bubba, I'm going to give this 6, what I like to call double C's.
Double C's?
Yeah. Crustaceous crab feeders. That's if your nickname is crab feeder,
yep,
and you look crustaceous.
It's a SpongeBob character. Wow, 6 out of 10, Catfish. That's your lowest score of these first three.
It's unsettling moving forward another 3 years. Every time we're moving forward, I just, at some point, I wonder how far forward do we have to move before we know some of these characters are going to change into adults. I feel like that could have happened already. We're 3.5 years in. How old is the king going to get? Being eaten by maggots. I mean, once you go to maggots, what the hell? How could, and your body is rotting off of you? How long can you last? I feel like we keep adding kind of all this intrigue. We've got some more characters who seem like they might be important here. But to me, this is sort of like, it's funny because I was reading kind of more about the book.
Fire and Blood.
Yeah. And it was described to me as more, the way the description was, and I don't know how accurate this is with it, it was sort of like kind of a dry recitation of a lot of history. And so that was the challenge for them, was to sort of like make kind of an interesting, compelling story out of this. But it's starting to feel more like that. And I feel like in general, they either need to spend more time or less time with people, because at this point, you know, moving forward in time, at what point could I say, well, maybe they could have just done like a 20 minute at the beginning of the first episode and then catch up to wherever they were in the present, because we're not getting some things, the things out of it, I would think. You know, the scenes this week felt more expositional. They didn't crackle at all like last week. You know, and I was like, well, you know, the crab feeder seems like an interesting character. I can't wait to hear more about, oh, okay, the crab feeder is just dead now. And then, oh, we've got Otto and Allison. Okay, she's now an adult. They're going to have a conversation and we're going to find out what's really going on. No, it's just as dry and as boring as their previous conversations. So we either need more time or less. And Bubba, while I do love a good, what I like to call double D.
Wait, double D?
Yeah, a dragon Dracarysing.
We had a bunch.
Yeah, I like it. But the action kind of seemed pretty mild as well, or at least it didn't really excite me. I don't know why, but it's just, I'm feeling kind of untethered in this right now. And I don't know if the answer is for them to settle down, but it also feels weird. Like we have a conversation between Viserys and Rhaenyra, and it's like, God, I really feel like this conversation could have happened sometime in the previous 3 years.
Not at all. No, they were busy.
They were busy. All right, Bubba.
Yeah.
What is your rating of this episode that I was pretty down on, as you can tell?
Well, Catfish, it is interesting because we're on Twitter at @PHQ, the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters. We're on Twitter, and we have so many, A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Friends. And I saw so many people who loved this episode, said it was the best of the first three.
Oh,
so many. And Catfish, this is crazy. We don't talk about our ratings ahead of time.
No.
But I also gave this episode 6 out of 10 double Ds.
Oh, double Ds?
Yeah, well, my double D for this episode, as House of the Dragon fans know, is for Daemon dashing away from Aeros and the Crab Feeder's forces. And that was my highlight of the episode. This episode really brought me back to how I felt for most of the premiere episode. I mentioned that for the first 40 minutes of the premiere episode, intellectually, I was like, okay, this is good acting. This is incredible production design. It's good directing. It's good writing. But I wasn't emotionally connecting with it. And sure enough, here in episode 3, I didn't connect with it. And I do want to almost say for my, you know, I hope nobody else feels this way. I hope everybody loved it. I saw a lot of people on Twitter who did love it. But the one thing that makes me kind of feel okay about giving it a 6 out of 10, through 3 episodes, this show has 2 main characters, King Viserys and his daughter Rhaenyra. And for the entire episode, almost the entire episode, they were both just miserable. They were both unhappy and miserable and pouting. And so as a viewer, I think it's okay for me to say that I think it logically makes sense that they're unhappy. I think it logically makes sense that they're pouting. But it wasn't fun to watch. I want to say that I don't hate any of the characters. And one thing that Game of Thrones fans remember is how some of those characters on Game of Thrones, you just absolutely positively hated. And by this point, you know, episode 3 of season 1, I think a lot of people did passionately hate some of those characters on Game of Thrones. But you were also kind of passionately charmed by them. And so our two main characters, which are really the focus of almost every episode, but certainly King Viserys and his daughter Rhaenyra, they spent the episode pretty miserable. And so watching them be miserable kind of made it a tough, miserable-esque viewing experience for me.
You know, another thing that happens in this episode, you see Daemon and you're like, man, he has gone through the ringer. Like, he is not looking good.
Right.
Boy, that might have been interesting to see. But no, we don't get that either.
Well, I got to be honest. If I'm saying everybody was miserable and then we see Daemon going through the ringer, that might be another thing to make me go, boy, this isn't quite as fun as I'd like. But again, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think.
Okay.
At DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ, YouTube. Please hit that like button and then go down in the comments and tell us why we're wrong and why you don't like our opinions. Hey, but listeners, I do have one request, which is a bit odd. I went to Apple Podcasts this week. And I just searched the Joffria podcast in the search bar at Apple Podcasts. The Joffria podcast, the name of this podcast. Guess what happened in the search results? We didn't really come up.
What?
It's hard to believe, but in my search, we didn't come up. Now, admittedly, you take 3 years off, maybe you get removed from some of the search results. But hey, if you are on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please go down and give us a written review. Write something, write anything. Even write, how could these idiots give 6s to episode 3? Whatever you do, we need you to help us appear in these search results again.
Unsubscribe, subscribe again so that there's some action. Unsubscribe. Listen, you can't unsubscribe in anger until you subscribe also in anger. But also, if you're happy, unsubscribe and then subscribe.
Heck yeah. Catfish, it's a week later. We've now had 2 weeks of the brand new show open, A House of the Dragon. And we got this note on YouTube from a listener who wrote, the opening of House of the Dragon is the bloodline of the crown, and I think it's badass in a different way than the Game of Thrones intro. They continue to write, maybe we'll see little Easter eggs, like how they reveal within the bloodline that breaks it off with Alison Hightower. And so I think this is a great note. I'm glad you think it's badass. You know, it's unfair maybe to compare, but I am going to compare. Intellectually, I get that this show open is showing me the bloodlines. But unlike the map, where I was always like, ooh, where's the map going to go? Where are we going this week? At least through 2 weeks, it's not like, ooh, where's the bloodline going to go this week? I don't have that excitement. That's me. Any more thoughts a week later on this new show open?
Well, Bubba, you've been more invested in the open than I have. However, I did kind of, I think this might be the last week I'll watch it if it doesn't change. You know, I'm watching this on streaming now, and so I can skip the opening, and I just may do that if they don't pick it up.
All right. Well, once again, listeners, what do you guys think of this open? It is cool that it shows the bloodline, I assume, from Aegon all the way to where we currently are, but It to me, it's just not as fun as the map. But once again, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. And we know what you think because, honestly, loyal listeners, you guys are such stars on these match games and your feedback. at a certain point, this podcast is going to be nothing but us reading all the brilliant things you guys come up with, because it's incredible. Catfish, are you ready for our match game, first match game of episode 3?
I'm ready.
Okay. The crab feeder's fate at the end of this episode can be described as blank. Boom, 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 boom. The crab feeder's fate at the end of this episode can be described as blank. I put Tyrion, because he's a half man.
Oh. And I put, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Read it again.
The crab feeder's fate at the end of this episode can be described as
shrimp-like. Because somebody bit into him and he's half gone.
Oh, how terrible.
He's half the man he used to be.
Oh, man. Okay, so hey, those were our answers. Let's see if we have any matches so far. So, Holly at Holly Hunt Pants said the crab feeder's fate at the end of the episode can be described as crab leg less.
Oh, all right. I'm going to read this one. This is so good. All right. This is Lisa Spinagle at Lisa S9. Go ahead, read a question.
The crab feeder's fate at the end of the episode can be described as
too clever, cleaver by half.
Oh. So good. All right, here's one from Leslie Connolly, who's at Leslie Con on Twitter. The crab feeder's fate at the end of the episode can be described as
a cut down.
We got a couple more. The crab feeder's fate at the end of the episode can be described as for unlawful carnal knowledge, if you put an ED on the end. So if you think about what for unlawful carnal knowledge, what those letters kind of spell out, and then you put an ED at the end, that definitely is poor. What happened to the poor crab feeder? That's from that Hamlet is dead.
All right, read me. We got two more. Let's do it.
The crab feeder's fate at the end of the episode can be described as
a death worse than grayscale. That's Dooley's left legs. G.S. Dooley's left legs.
All right, one last one. The crab feeder's fate at the end of the episode can be described as
half-assed. That is Patman 23, Pat Spinagle. We got full participation by this. Well, we got 2/3 participation by the Spinagle household.
We sure did. Patman is Mr. Lisa.
He is indeed Mr. Lisa.
Hey, for those of you who on the first week checked us out on Stream Lounge, where we do a watch along bit with the House of the Dragon episode, know that we didn't do it last week. Last Thursday night was the premiere of Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. So it was smart not to try to go against that when so many of you guys may have been watching that Amazon show. We want to try it again in a bit. So streamlounge.io on the internet there, where we're going to have some watch alongs where you guys can watch with us and watch us make these terrible jokes as we normally do during the episode.
Live, live, live. Well, live-ish.
50% live. So we were both relatively tough on this episode, Catfish, yeah. But this episode had a million scenes in it. What would you say is the strongest scene, and which ones did you kind of have any trouble with? So strongest scene, toughest scene. What do you think?
I mean, my favorite moment of the episode happens near the beginning when Daemon comes by with the dragon and he's just going to burn mothers out. And yeah. There's that one guy at the bottom was like, save me, my prince, save me. Splat. He gets stepped on by the dragon. Saved from another different kind of death.
Ouch.
Let's see, we had the scene with Double T.
Wait, Double T?
Yeah, Tedious Thailand. Oh, yeah. King, we got to get out of the King. I'm trying to relax here. We had the surprisingly, what I like to call AAA.
Wait, AAA?
Yeah, always approaching childbirth Alicent.
Okay, all right, grant it. Which specific scene with always approaching Alicent?
I mean, no, I just wanted to use the AAA. I wasn't enthused by any of her scenes. I want to see what I want. She's completely unknown to me.
I think that is a great call. But we do have little
huge patsy, or she's not. I mean, don't give, you know, I came for dragons and breasts. Is on that list, is subtlety on that list, Bubba?
No, there, neither of those two things you like are subtlety, Catfish. No, sadly. But hold on, let's talk about this. Let's talk about Allison here, even though we have a section to talk about characters. I agree, Allison at times can be a cipher, but when she's alone in the Godswood by the heart tree with Rhaenyra, she is trying to reach out. She is saying things like, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. When she's with her father and her father's like, you gotta have your son named heir, see what you can do. And she's like, Rhaenyra would be a good queen. I don't want to raise my son to steal his sister's birthright. So she is a bit unknowable, but when she is alone, as she's in alone with just one person in these two instances, you know, she's trying to be a friend to Rhaenyra, even if Rhaenyra is no longer trying to be a friend to her. She is, when she's alone with the king, in both times by the bonfire, and then at the end of the episode in his room, when she's like, let me ask you a simpler question. Is it better for the realm if the crab feeder lives or if the crab feeder is gone? I think she is giving good advice a lot of times. And so does that really give us a great picture into her, into how she feels about kind of being pushed to get with the king and being queen? No, I don't think it has given us a great insight into her character, but I don't think you can watch this and say, boy, Allison's evil, do you? You could just say she's, we just don't know much, but I don't think she's evil. How about that?
Well, no, she's definitely not. She's not evil. She's not evil at this point, for sure. I mean, who knows what can happen, what can change, especially if she's going to get attitude for like 12 years from Rhaenyra. At a certain point, it's like, F you, I'm just going to hang out of my, I'm going to take care of my own damn self.
Heck yeah.
I can see that. You convince me on that. As far as scenes that I enjoyed in this episode, yeah, I think it's just the triple D.
The triple D?
Yeah, Daemon's daring dash.
Right. Yeah, no, that's
that was
mine.
Exciting, although unbelievable.
That's my favorite one. Okay. When he's out there and he's waving the white flag, this is Game of Thrones. He's either going to get killed because nobody believes a white flag, and why in the world with the crab feeder, who seems like a completely gone loon? We don't know anything about him, but looking at him, you think, boy, this guy is not going to really respect white flags. But then similarly, we know Daemon well enough that I had no fear that Daemon was actually going to surrender. I knew exactly what he was going to do. He was either going to let him get close and roast him with a dragon, or he was going to let him get close and then stab him. The dash part of it, though, that did excite me. That did give the episode a bit of pulse. And so that was my favorite scene, the Daemon dash.
Look, you can go on a limb and suspension of disbelief and everything like that. But, I mean, that was ludicrous that he survived that.
Only got hit by two arrows, right?
Yeah, okay.
He got hit by two. What do you want?
I love that also. Also, the other thing is, I'm like, you know, the dragon fired, you know, I want to know how many people have been consumed by the truest form of friendly fire. You know,
right.
I mean?
That right. Dragon no, that fire is a good point. That's a good
is,
point.
Yeah, it's a... It's not a small cone.
Right. And those dragons have to have great ears when they're flying up there in the wind and all the noise. And so when the rider says Dracarys, if he accidentally sneezes, could they wipe out half their own troop?
Yeah, I don't think the dragon was able to. There's no a dragon differentiating.
Another reason why I was relatively tough on this episode is that the boar scene. So you have Princess Rhaenyra and member of the King's Guard, Criston Cole. They're out in the woods. They're by themselves.
You just have to call him Heartthrob, Criston Cole.
Dreamy McKnight.
There we go.
And so suddenly there's a noise out there. And this is a fantasy show. And my head starts thinking of all these fantastical things. Ooh, maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. Ooh, this is a fantasy show. Maybe it's this. And then it was a boar. And this sounds ridiculous because a boar attack is very exciting. But my own head had come up with a million fantastical things. And then, honestly, I was like, oh, it's a boar. And so even that kind of, for myself, once again, listeners, I hope you didn't feel this way at all. But for me, that kind of moment was just like, oh, And I agree with you, Catfish. There was something going on with the final battle where I just didn't connect with it. I was, it was kind of, dare I say, brilliant special effects, but not engaging. Maybe it's because we really don't know the Crab Feeder and his forces. We really don't understand the true weight that this battle is doing for the kingdom. But
I mean,
I didn't get as wrapped up as I thought I would be in a Game of Thrones battle.
I mean, I love the boar scene as an already avowed, just within like the last 5 minutes, appreciator of non-subtlety. I completely appreciated the contrast between the wild boar attack and the king having the heart served up to him on a plate and still not being able to kill the heart immediately. So I appreciated that contrast because, again, That was as subtle as a stab to the stomach by a ceremonial spear. So I appreciated that. She comes back to camp. I mean, she was badass. She might as well just walk by and drop the boar on the table and just peaced out when she came back. How about this?
Here, baby brother, this is what I got you for your second name day. Plop. I do want to talk briefly about the White Hart scene. You once again are talking about subtlety. So the king gets to kill a very nice stag, a very nice prize there.
Boring.
It was big. But suddenly the White Hart comes out and reveals itself to Rhaenyra. Hashtag symbolism.
Yeah.
And to me, that scene would have felt more at home on The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, than it does on this show. This show seems so gritty and realistic for a fantasy show. But suddenly, if you watched the third Fantastic Beasts movie, this is kind of like what happens in the third Fantastic Beasts movie. The fantastic creature who decides who should be a ruler picks the person that the audience thinks, should be the ruler. Oh, this is the good-hearted person. And so I wasn't even sure about that scene.
Well,
and
Bubba, you can't have it both ways, Bubba. You just said you wanted more fantasy elements on this fantasy show, and now you're complaining that you've got a fantasy element on the fantasy show.
Make
up your mind.
Fantasy attack was not a fantasy attack. It was a boar. A fantastical White Hart just kind of said, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, he gave Rhaenyra what's up, and then peaced out. You know, so it was like, oh. Where's the excitement in that? Once again, I hope I'm crazy. I hope I just didn't connect with it for whatever reason. Listeners, if you love these scenes, write to us and let us know. And write down in the comments on YouTube, hit that thumbs up or hit the thumbs down if we're driving you crazy.
I know that you loved Viserys in this episode. Wouldn't you love to hang out with drunk Viserys? He is the happiest drunk you've ever seen.
Happiest. Give me a break. Give me King Robert's happy drunk. Gods, I was strong back then. You know, give me somebody like that. This guy is like when you've been at Pat O'Brien's all night and all the women have left with other people. I don't know. I mean, this king was unhappy. But so, okay.
I mean, as far as the number of drinks he was pounding, he reminded me of you at the House of the Dragon premiere. But your attitude was completely different. You were out there chatting it up. You didn't say to anybody, "I don't want to hear about politics." And then another guy comes up to talk to you about politics and you go, okay.
Right. I was more like Jason Lannister at the House of the Dragon World premiere. My pride had pride.
Love it.
Speaking of drunk, let's get to our second match game question. You ready, Catfish?
Let's do it. Yeah. Okay. Are you reading this one or am I reading it?
You read it.
All right. King Viserys was so drunk.
How drunk was he?
He was so drunk he told Alicent, "Many in my line have been dragon riders, but few among us have been blank."
King Viserys is so drunk.
How drunk is he?
He's so drunk, he told Alicent, "Many in my line have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been..."
Hung like a dragon.
Adult content.
All right, Bob, I'm going to read it for you and you answer. King Viserys was so drunk.
How drunk was he?
He was so drunk he told Alice that many of my line have been dragon riders, but very few among us have been...
dragon fucks. Adult content. Okay, I'll bleep that out. So.
All right, we'll get an idea. I think the people will get an idea.
Okay. He's so drunk, he told Allison, many in my line have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been...
not married to their sisters. Oh, Phil Kava, K-A-H-V-A. So good. All right. Okay. He was so drunk, he told Allison, many in my line have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been...
dark hair.
Dooley's left legs. I love it.
Left legs on Twitter. All right, here we go. One last one.
All right,
one.
Now this one might be, I don't know, this might be a match, Bubba. This might be a match with yours. Okay, King Viserys is so drunk. He told Alice that many of my line of dragon riders, very few among us have been...
Hightower mounters. Terrible.
Oh, that is likely Seth. Oh, that is... you know what, Bubba? I don't think that's quite a match, but there's some good ones. Hopefully, we get some more answers from that one. These ones kind of stumped me tonight.
But our listeners, you guys are so good. Once again, probably by episode 10, we'll just do nothing but read all your brilliant ideas. The whole podcast long. Let's get to our character rundown. And Catfish, once again, I keep pointing out that this show really has kind of two main characters, where maybe season one of Game of Thrones had one main character in Ned Stark. This really does feel like a two-hander, Princess Rhaenyra and King Viserys. And so Princess Rhaenyra in this episode, once again, I understand why she would be frustrated and all the things that kind of limitations she has on her life. But where last week I was 100% on her side and I was for her, this week, it's not that I was against her, but I was like, maybe do something different to fight for your right, if there's such a thing. How did you feel about Princess Rhaenyra this week?
Well, as I said, I mean, it feels like this doesn't feel, the conversation between them doesn't feel like something that could have built over 3 years. It feels like the kettle would have whistled long before this. Yeah. You know,
As soon as Aegon was born, it should have boiled over of like, oh, okay, I've been replaced.
Yeah, especially because Viserys kind of gives in. I thought that was kind of a surprising. I mean, in one way, it's surprising because Viserys, like, do what you want. I mean, Rhaenyra properly calls him out by saying, right after he says, we have to marry to strengthen the throne. And she's like, Allison, really? So he's like, yeah, okay, you're right. So pick whoever. So that's kind of surprising, but on the other hand, it's not surprising because Viserys, as we have said before, we agree with Daemon, and the show is clearly trying to tell us this, that he may be a good dude, but he is not a good king.
Well, let's get to that, and let's get to his character on this, Catfish, in that he is the king. He is more of almost the lead than Rhaenyra is. He's front and center. Is a weak king a good lead for a TV show? Because I think his acting is great. I think the writing makes sense. I think the betrayal makes sense. But again, I'm not sure it's super fun to watch. Is a weak king a good lead for a TV show? What do you think?
Well, you know, that is a great question because I hadn't thought of it like that. I mean, think about it this way. In Game of Thrones, we had a weak king, weak in that he wasn't focused on the kingdom and he didn't really want to be king. But what we had was a bunch of people jockeying and going underneath him. It wasn't, you know, he was kind of opposite. He was weak in an opposite way. In other words, he would be quick to anger. He would have put all this stuff down right away, but in a way that would have not have strengthened the kingdom.
King Robert wasn't the lead of the show is the trick. What I would say is that he was a weak king, but he wasn't ever front and center. Like, we didn't spend as much time with him probably in all of his episodes as we've spent with Viserys through three episodes.
Right. Because we had a lot of we had a lot of other people jockeying. And even though they're jockeying here, it's we hear about it more than see it. And so I agree, it's just not as strong. I mean, a weak king would be good if we saw people more actively trying to usurp him, but not only are people not actively trying to usurp him, but it's been 3 years and you would have thought that his entire, all his skin would have rotted off of his body already by now, considering what we've seen and knowing about medical conditions. Like, this is also puzzling. I mean, I almost thought of Downton Abbey, right?
Oh, where wow.
They kind of in the seasons, they kind of progress through the years, mm-hmm. and I think they progress through the years so much that, like, but they had to keep what's her name, who is the matriarch. So she probably was like, in real age, should have been like 120, but still on the show because they're like, she's so good. It's just hard to believe he's still around.
No, I'm 100% with you. It is very, very hard to believe. Anything else you want to say about King Viserys? Like, you have not read Fire and Blood.
Correct.
Can you predict where you think they're going with his character? What's going to happen to him? How long do you see him being on the show, even?
I mean, I see him being on the show long enough for his son, Aegon, mm-hmm. to actually be old enough for it to really spark a decision about who is going to succeed Viserys. In other words, if Viserys died now when Aegon is like 2, 3, 4, I think it would be easier for Rhaenyra to ascend to the throne. But if Aegon is like 8, 9, 10, that's a completely different story. So my prediction is that Viserys is around another 6, 7 years.
Okay. I think that makes perfect sense. Listeners, if no spoilers, but if you want to talk about Catfish's prediction, or if you have predictions of your own and you don't know spoilers, write them to us at DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ. YouTube, leave those comments. We love them. Now, once again, it is in many ways unfair to compare and contrast, but I made this note, this mental note, while watching the show, and that is in episode 3 of season 1 of Game of Thrones, that introduced us to the entire Small Council, meaning in the 3rd episode of Game of Thrones, we finally met Varys, Littlefinger, Pycelle, Renly, Barristan Selmy, as well as everybody but Samwell. We met at the Wall, meaning in the 3rd episode, we met Lord Commander Mormont, Alistair Thorne, Pip, Gren, Yoren, Maester Aemon. In that 3rd episode, we also met Old Nan as she was telling a story to Bran, and we met Cyrio Forel. Those characters, think of how rich they were drawn even in their first appearance. Cyrio Forel, think of how richly he's drawn in his first appearance. Here in episode 3 of House of the Dragon, we met Larrys with his bad foot strong. We met Lady Redwine and her pug, Lady Lannister, the Sea Snake's brother, Vaemond, and we've got the first real look at his son, Lenor. We met Lord Jason and Tywin de Lannister. But do any of those characters feel as richly drawn as any of the others in Game of Thrones? Like, we met a lot of new people this week. But once again, these characters don't pop. Of those, do you have any favorites? I think you would almost have to say Lord Jason, just because he was so ineffective in his flirting.
I mean, he that poor son of a gun. He gets smacked down more than Lady Redwine does.
Yeah, it's just, now admittedly you might say, oh well, Game of Thrones spent more time introducing these new characters than House of the Dragon did.
Yeah.
That's true, but that's also kind of the point. And I think you could have drawn Lord Jason Lannister, so he would have been more distinct, more memorable. Maybe if I was saying you need a character who you want to passionately hate on House of the Dragon, somebody like this, you know, a total Chad coming out there and really being terrible, maybe he could have been it. But he, you know, call me crazy, it's not like I hate Jason Lannister. It's more like just, dude, you're not it. You know, it's like, he's a bad match. So I don't know if any of these new characters really pop. I'm sure they'll get a chance to. And I'm sure, let me say, I am sure, and I don't think this is in Fire and Blood, but I almost am positive that I think I know where they're going with Larrys, Badfoot Strong.
Well, Here's the thing, right? Yeah. It's that we're talking about we want to have a real, real villain, right? But it feels like we can't have it yet because, in other words, if we saw someone who was a real villain,
yeah,
and then we jump forward 3 years, we'd be like, well, what have they done in the 3 years? I think the timeline needs to settle before we can really have people put stuff in motion. Otherwise, a lot of nefarious, delicious stuff would have to happen in between episodes, and we'd get more of the telling and less of the showing.
Interesting.
I really think a lot of the problems with this show are happening because of the timeline jumps right now.
Well, you can kind of tell, and hopefully, listeners, you don't consider this a spoiler. I think we're going to have a bunch more, and they're going to get bigger. You know, so we went from, okay, 6 months later to now 3 years later. I think a bunch are coming, and I think they're going to be big.
All right. Well, I mean, like I said, the characters look the same 3.5 years later for the young, for Rhaenyra and Alicent. So we know they're going to be, at some point, they're going to change. So that's going to mean 5 year jump, 6 year jump, probably. I mean, we're going to jump, who knows how many episodes it'll be until we jump to my prediction that Aegon is 9 or 10.
Just as long as they don't change the actor playing Dreamy McKnight. I mean, Kristen Cole, he's just so dreamy. Don't ever change him.
Got it. Ms. Catfish was like, what is, his hair is amazing.
How did Ms. Catfish feel about Jason Lannister?
I mean, just kind of thought he was a doof. He was, you know, it's interesting. I've been calling for more humor on this show, but I think you're right. We're looking for bad guys, and maybe like, okay, maybe this will be the bad guy. And until you realize, you know, I thought he could be a bad guy. After all, he's a Lannister, but he's a doof.
He wasn't funny either, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
But here, let's see if we can make him funny by our third match game of the episode. Catfish, you read this one.
All right. If Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a blank.
If Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a
makeover.
That's
a horrible answer.
I know. Actually, don't they do that on The Bachelorette?
I think that's great. But not when you're okay. Could be that. But I like Ms. Catfish, who does watch The Bachelorette show. She had a better answer.
If Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a
limo out of town.
No, that is definitely what they do on The Bachelor. Very good, Mrs. Catfish. Very good.
All right, Bubba. This is for you. Here we go. If Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, who wouldn't get a rose? He'd get a
restraining order. He's coming on a little strong there.
Oh, man. All right, let's listen to our listeners. Let's see. If Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, who wouldn't get a rose? He'd get a
piece of coal. And not Kristen Cole. That was from Casmira Unscripted, who's at Casmira Unscript on Twitter. Here's one from our good buddy Dooley's Left Legs. If Jason Lannister wasn't on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a
triple R.
Wait, triple R?
Right, royal rejection.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Hamlet is dead. I think we this is a close match between some of our listeners. Here we go. If Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a
exit interview.
Yes, that is.
I'm going to give it a little tingle. That's pretty
good.
It is.
Well, you do the exit interview in the limo out of town.
Very good. We always say we love, love, love your feedback. And we're going to read some of your answers that came in after we recorded the podcast from last week's match game. So please send them to us this week. We love your answers. So it's time. All rise. Enter the small council for our small counselor debate. Catfish, How does it take 3 years to win a medieval war when you have dragons?
It's very simple, Your Honor. Well, first of all, you only have one because the rest of the dragons, they don't come. They're like, I'm tired. I'm just gonna sit here in my dragon keep.
Yep.
I don't want to go out and work. And so you just got the one dragon, and you know he just don't have enough fire to get deep inside the caves. And that's what you have to do, because deep inside those caves, yeah, that's where those hundreds and hundreds of people are in there, and they got plenty of food and water supplies, Your Honor. They don't need to come out. They're fully stocked in there for 3 years. They definitely do not need to come out to get any supplies.
Your Honor, they may be in this cave, but your ships are only going to fly, your ships are only going to navigate through the stepstones in light, right? These islands don't have lighthouses on them, so you're only going to have ships passing when it's light. So as long as the dragon is hovering there, your ships can't get attacked, right? Your ship shouldn't get attacked because the dragon is kind of guiding them through these islands so they don't get attacked. Because if anybody comes out of the cave, guess what? You roast them. This isn't hard to figure out. This isn't hard to, you know, put your head around. How in the world did it take Damon 3 years, Your Honor? It makes no sense.
Your Honor, what did I tell you? They're fully stocked with enough food and water the last 3 years. They never need to come out of the cave.
Well, if they never come out, then your ships pass through the step zones and you're fine. It's not a problem. Okay, so let's say they come out at night. The crabs come out at night. Again, your ships aren't going to be trying to navigate those tiny channels through the islands at night, so they can come out at night all they want. Hurrah! Huzzah! Hooray! Who cares?
Yana.
Yes. Yes.
This was a clearly unwinnable case on my side.
Listeners, you tell us, how do you think this war lasted 3 years? Okay.
I was doing this one pro bono, Yana.
Stay standing for the next case. How many more relatives are going to be offered up as potential spouses to one or more characters? Counselor Catfish, do you have an answer for how many more royal relatives are going to be offered up as potential spouses?
Well, Your Honor, it's very simple.
Yes?
The Queen Alicent, she seems very, is the word fecund? Am I using the wrong word, fecund? She is, she seems like she is going to squirt out a lot of children, Your Honor. And so I would say every single one of those is going to be betrothed. And then the last one is going to be betrothed in the womb. It's going to be like, well, we don't know. We don't know what sex it's going to be. Doesn't matter. We'll just pick somebody. It's luck of the draw, Your Honor. You may marry a woman. You may marry a girl. You're marrying a fetus. So I would say, Your Honor,
yes,
I'm going to go with a nice round number, 6.
Ooh, Counselor Bubba, you're cross-examination. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, this is a specific question about how many. And so I think there's going to be one relative for every one of King Viserys's remaining fingers. So I think you're going to have 8. 8 more relatives, Your Honor. Now, you're right. Who would those... What would be the worst match? Your Honor, let me tell you what would be the worst match among relatives. Uncle Damon, who is married still, but seems to not love his wife so much, and he seems to be involved with a lady by the name of Miseria. So
is he still, Your Honor? It's been 3 years. We didn't see her. Pictures or it doesn't count, Your Honor.
Okay. So we're going to set up Prince Damon with the remaining corpse of crab feeder. King Aegon and his sister wives, when they invaded Westeros all those years ago, we're going to have Prince Damon, whatever fetus is in Alicent's belly, and the crab feeder remains. In love.
Is that a threesome or a two and a half some, Your Honor?
2.5 men. terrible answers. Third trial. We begin. Has Prince Damon ever heard the phrase, don't kill the messenger? Catfish, your argument.
Your Honor, he has heard the phrase, don't kill the messenger. And I want to be very clear. He did not kill the messenger, Your Honor. He just bludgeoned him. Now, listen, I just want to be clear. If I can bring this to something most people understand, okay?
Okay.
All right. So Aaron Donald is in practice.
Oh, no.
And he takes off a couple helmets. And he starts bludgeoning people over the head with these helmets. Now, did he get penalized, Your Honor? No. Why? Because he didn't. Because he didn't kill anyone, Your Honor. He just merely bludgeoned them. So yes, David has heard the phrase "don't kill the messenger," but he's never heard the phrase "don't bludgeon the messenger."
Your Honor, I would like Counselor Catfish to read the message that caused Prince Damon to go crazy and beat this messenger.
Oh, it says, "I'm coming to save you because you can't handle yourself, Damon."
Your Honor, I think that's an example of a weak man being told that he needs help and lashing out at others. I think that is a sign that he may not have killed the messenger, Your Honor, but what he did was he killed his worth. And I mean, Damon killed his own worth. When you are such a weak-willed man that you can't ask for help from your brother, then you don't deserve the title Prince, and your title should instead be Bitch.
No, this is inflammatory, Your Honor. Inflammatory.
I agree. Your Honor, so has he ever heard the phrase "don't kill the messenger"? He's heard the final three words. He's heard those four words in different order. So,
all right, Your Honor.
I think he only heard that one song that Rhaenyra kept putting on loop on Spotify, like "play it again, play it again."
Don't fear the Reaper.
Hit it, Samwell. One last court case. This week, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, did premiere on Amazon Prime. We have two fantasy shows going against each other. Catfish, will one survive? Will both survive? What are your thoughts on the matter?
Well, Your Honor, I think they're both going to survive. Amazon spent far too much money, and they need to keep this going. It's getting amazing reviews as far as the look and the special effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little slow, Your Honor. Slow. But they don't care. They want to keep pushing it. They have their made up numbers in their head, but they say 25 million people around the world have watched.
Yep.
And HBO desperately needs House of the Dragon. By the way, House of the Dragon has been renewed for a second year already, Bubba. And that means that the Joffrey podcast has been renewed for a second year. Congratulations to us.
Congratulations, guys. You earned it. Let me say that I watched those first two episodes of Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. And the big thing I think is that while both are fantasy shows, these shows aren't alike at all. I think you can enjoy both. I think you can only like one. I think you can like none. I think, you know, it's completely up to the individual. I did generally like the first two episodes of The Rings of Power, but I watched it and I thought, anybody who really tries to compare it and House of the Dragon, they're just so different. I mean, this will sound ridiculous. House of the Dragon is dealing with, in a lot of ways, much smaller stakes, which sounds ridiculous because you're like, who's going to be king? But Lord of the Rings, Rings of the Power, it's always in these Lord of the Rings stories about like the whole world, all of Middle Earth is in danger. While this show, House of the Dragon, doesn't have the White Walker attack. It doesn't have the threat yet of, you know, our biggest threat is the friggin' crab feeder. What a threat. So I think I liked them both. Listeners, what did you guys think? Did you watch both? Do you think both shows can survive or there can be only none?
All right, Bubba. Listen.
Yeah. Hey.
Let's do some match game feedback from last week. We got some. I wouldn't call them late because we post these during the show and people respond. So some people responded to some of our match games after the fact and they're pretty good. And so we want to do them. So last week's match game, one of them was Lord Corlys's daughter is so young.
How young is she?
So young, she shops for a wedding dress at.
The same store as Evil Uncle Tyrion.
Oh, Tory Hunter at Mando Tory. Horrible. Oh,
Mando Tory. I love it. Okay, Lord Corlys's daughter is so young, she shopped for a wedding dress at...
a secondhand store. Raspberry Beret. Hey. And it's Heath Actor at... Hey, Zentazo at Heath Actor. All right, here we go. We got another one. King Viserys is so sick.
How sick is he?
After the maggots didn't work, the maester started using...
the heat off Corlys Velaryon's head to cauterize the double F.
Double F?
Festering Vinger. Oh, yes. Yes. Very good. Pulling in storylines from the show. That's Nick Fortuna at Nicholas Fortuna. And, of course, King Viserys is so sick. After the maggots didn't work, the maester started using...
wind in caves to get better maggots. Oh, and Heath Actor, Heath Zentazo. I got to get some crossover.
Crossover podcast. Very good. Okay, we did get a couple more answers for our third match game from last week. Mysteria, I came to you to be liberated. Damon, from what? Mysteria, from?
Catfish. Oh, wait a second here. Oh, my God.
No, that's not nice.
Oh, and Heath Actor again hurting me. Catfish with the same match game match.
Oh, that isn't an answer. That's Dooley's left leg celebrating that he came up with the same match as you did last week. That's our first match. So good.
Yes, couldn't ignore that accent. It was amazing. Okay. Oh, Bubba, we also got some feedback from last week's episode.
We did.
The first was from Shakes of Thrones, our old friend at Shakes of Thrones. We love it.
Shake says, if you're enjoying House of the Dragon but wanting more humor, like me, I think like a lot of us, this show could use some humor, do give Joffrey Podcast a listen. Bubba and Catfish are hilarious hosts, double H's, and their takes are pretty solid. Ooh, thank you so much.
I'll take that
throne
any day of the week. Kara O'Hearn says, so happy you guys are back. Long live King Joffrey. Wouldn't be surprised if his excellence managed to find magic to help him time travel to House of Dragons, and he's still there fighting off the real usurpers.
Oh, my goodness. There are so many, Kara. Thank you so much.
David Gobert at Grumpy Gobert 451 says, when King Viserys said he was enjoying his talks with Allison, did anyone else read talks as in double Ks?
Wait, double Ks?
Pinky King?
Oh, man, yeah, he enjoyed young Allison, Allison.
We have a reply to David Gobert from at likely self, Seth saying, personally read it as a triple D.
Triple D.
Yeah, Dirty Dragon Daycare for Allison.
Terrible.
Yes.
Hey, so we posted a bunch of questions online, and so Zero Cool 20 said to one of our questions, they said, I don't think Alicent betrayed Rhaenyra. Her dad just wanted her. Meaning her father, Rhaenyra's father, just wanted Alicent. So we didn't really talk about that on the show, Catfish. Do you think Alicent betrayed her best friend by, you know, flirting with the dad and becoming queen? Is that a betrayal of your best friend?
Well, I mean, it feels like she didn't really push him. She was just doing what her dad said, and she was being nice to him. Again, without any evidence to the contrary. As we've said, we have no evidence that Allison is anything other than sort of a nice person trying to do her best thing. All we can assume is she was doing what her dad said. The king's not a bad dude. He's just a bad king. So I don't think betrayed her friend.
Okay. But now I don't think she really betrayed her either. Once again, even though Alicent is a highborn lady, she does have, you know, once again, they're not equal. Hey, my best friend is my best friend, but they're also the princess. They're so above me in status. You know, why shouldn't I try to raise my status in this world too? And so... is it a betrayal? I kind of don't think so, but we did get this feedback on YouTube.
Well, I thought I said that Rhaenyra felt betrayed by her dad.
Yeah. But
I don't think I said that. I don't think I gave the opinion that she actually did betray her. But Rhaenyra definitely felt betrayed.
Yeah, without question. Well, you know, we've kind of given our thoughts once again, we say, who cares what we think? And so somebody on YouTube, who I hope I'm pronouncing this right, goes by Love Prue One.
Love Prue.
Okay. They wrote, Alicent betrayed Rhaenyra. She hid her relationship with Rhaenyra's father. Okay, that's completely true. If she had told Rhaenyra the truth when it first happened, that would have given Rhaenyra a chance to talk to her father before things went any further. Her father would have felt differently about Alicent if he had heard from his daughter. Rhaenyra would have spent more time with her dad and built a better bond. Her father would then have started searching for a wife that was more adult than her best friend. Once again, she thinks that if they had had this talk, the king would have at least started searching for someone who wasn't one of his daughter's friends. So,
all right, now listen, I love this feedback.
I do too.
I in part disagree with it. I also in part think it's projecting a lot. Why would her father have felt, what would Rhaenyra say that would have made Viserys feel differently about Alicent? She wouldn't trash talk her. She's her friend. And right. Even if she said, you know, what's she going to say? She's an inappropriate age. Not in this time. What's she going to say? She's my best friend. So what? I don't agree with her father feeling differently about Alicent. I don't think that would have caused Rhaenyra to spend more time with her dad and build a better bond. I mean, again, I love the comment. I love where they're going, but I think that Love Prue is projecting a lot that isn't substantiated by what we've seen in this world.
I think that's true, but I do think you could maybe imagine Rhaenyra saying, "Dad, I'm still mourning my mother, and I need Alicent to be nothing but a friend to me." You know, okay. She could have probably played on his heartstrings a bit, and that might have, you know, thrown enough cold water on it so it wouldn't have gone forward. Again, that is, you have to project, you do have to kind of assume, but that was, I could think that.
I mean, the other thing is, I think you could be, you could be convinced by that by saying, well, we've seen Rhaenyra and Viserys have great conversations where he gets swayed to a point of view. But remember, these conversations are happening a lot less in real life than they're shown on the show. One of them was 6 months after her mother died, and the other one was 3 years and 6 months after her mother died. So they're
not going to talk again for 10 years.
Well, in other words, if you watch the show, you think, well, they have a lot of heart-to-heart talk. But when you realize how far it is, you're like, they don't really have a lot of heart.
No, they don't at all. No.
So, all right. And Patman 23 says, Catfish lost me on his criticism of the opening.
So we were kind of tough on the show opening again in this episode. Catfish, do you remember what Patman disagrees with a lot? Or what do you just, you know, some people love the opening. And I think that's a fair response. It's just me personally, I'm not thrilled with it yet.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to do what I can to earn back Patman 23.
Oh, no.
I won't talk about the opening anymore. I'm just going to skip it, Patman. Boring. Ooh. Oh, wait. Hold on. I don't think I'm doing what I need to do to get Patman back.
So, hey, that's our take on Season 1, Episode 3. We want to know. We really say it because we mean it. We want to know what you think. At DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ, YouTube, leave those comments. We need a like. We need reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We ask for a lot, but it's because you guys are brilliant and we love hearing what you think and you guys joining with us on this journey.
Hell yes. Listen. You can reach out to us at DoublePHQ on Twitter, at DoublePHQ on Instagram. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter, at GEETOTHEMAN on Instagram. And Bubba, how can they reach out to you personally?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on the social media apps.
Oh my God. The audience is so excited. We need to get Patman back because we've been renewed for a new season. So strong. Please unsubscribe, then subscribe to the Joffrey podcast. Leave us all sorts of comments. We are going to have drawings, multiple prizes at the end of the year. And that's how you get into those. Listen, we make literally pennies every week doing
we
this.
Do.
And we're going to spend them all on getting some prizes for our listeners. So please, please reach out to us. Give us some pub. Give us some love so we can keep doing this for you. We do it all for you, except for Patman. We do it all except for Patman. And we will talk to you next week on
the Joffrey Podcast. That was completely in sync. Did you see that? So you don't think in sync.
It didn't sound in sync to me at all. So if it comes out sounding in sync, then we'll know what's going on.
I'm telling mother.